Hi, this is Dave Kale, and today we're talking about systems, specifically business systems. You know, at its most fundamental level, business is always and only about three things: money, people, and systems. Now, there is a huge body of content revolving around money in business. You know, lots of books have been written. Consultants' careers have been advanced in the pursuit of wiser use of money. A whole population of professionals, that's bookkeepers, accountants, CPAs, etc., have come into practice to help businesses deal effectively with money. When it comes to people, as an element in business, there is an equally impressive body of knowledge and infrastructure. Lots of books have been written, YouTube videos created, seminars developed, and consultants' careers enhanced by our constant quest to hire, manage, and develop good people. The field of human resources is primarily devoted to that pursuit. When it comes to systems, however, there's not nearly the quantity and quality of conversation. And yet, effective systems are, at the very least, just as necessary to the growth and health of a business as good people and adequate funds. Matter of fact, I can make a case that they're effective systems are more important to the health of a business than good people and adequate funds. Good systems are where the company's assets, financial assets, intertwine with the people to produce results. Systems are the thread that pulls it all together. Often a company's financial or people woes are really a symptom of poor systems. We've all heard the analogy of the business necessity of getting the right people on the right seats in the bus. You've heard that, I'm sure. Before you get the right people in the right seats, you have to have the bus. And the bus needs to have identified seats for people. Systems are like the bus. Without effective systems, there's no place for any people. If your business is going to be effective, you must create systems so that you have the right places for the right people. Now, there's a fundamental principle at play here. Systems define the behavior of the people who operate within those systems. So if you want to change behavior, change the system. Let's look at a couple examples from the macro level. You know, for years, the USA and the USSR were in competition with one another. Their populations were roughly equal, and because of the massive size, you know, plus or minus 300 million people, it's fair to assume that the distribution of talents and abilities were roughly equal. So one nation did not have an advantage in terms of its the abilities and core aptitudes of the people. Their access to natural resources was roughly equal too. One nation did not have a decided advantage over the other one. Yet, one of those two nations far exceeded the other in economic activity, personal freedom, human expression, and quality of life. What was the difference? Well, the difference was the system. The systems that governed the life of the citizens dictated the eventual output. Systems dictate the behavior of the people who operate within those systems. Change the system, you change the behavior of the people who operate within that system. Now, here's an example on a micro scale. My wife and I were foster parents, and over the years we had 19 foster children. Almost all of them came from traumatic home situations and were emotionally upset and out of control. And I would watch my wife impose our system on them. So on the first day in our home, she would lay down the rules of the system. Here's your bedroom. You will sleep in the bed. You will not sleep on the closet. You will not sleep on the floor. You'll sleep in the bed. Here's the bathroom. You will wash your face and brush your teeth before you greet the family. Come along. Here's the kitchen. This is the kitchen table. You will eat with the family when the family eats. You will sit in a chair. You will use silverware. And wham, the child was put into a system. And the behavior change was predictable. Within a few days, that new child would catch on and begin to modify his or her behavior to fit within the system. And that was the beginning of their healing. Now, as a consultant, I've personally and contractually worked with over 600 companies. And out of that experience, I've formulated a principle for making positive changes within an organization. I've mentioned it a couple times already. Here's my principle. Change the system, and you change the behavior of the people who operate within that system. Now, as a consultant, you know, coming from the outside, I was often able to make significant changes in this company and a company's growth and profitability without even meeting most of the people. I would analyze and refine the system. Now, my work was in the world of sales, so I could make an impact on a company by refining the system without ever touching or even meeting the people, the salespeople. Systems dictate the behavior of people. So to extend the analogy, before you get the right people on the bus, the engine must be well-tuned, the bus must have good tires, it should be mechanically sound, it should have the right number of seats in the right distribution, and it should be headed in the right direction. See, that's the system. You can't have good people without a good system. So we have a great example of the importance of effective systems when we look at creation around us. You know, at every level, from the way atoms come in and out of existence and interact with one another, at the tiniest level, to the ecosystems that arrange and order life on our planets, to the movement and relationship of stars and galaxies and constellations, everywhere we look, at every level, we see systems. See, the Creator did not just create stuff, matter and light and energy and life and all its expressions. He didn't just create stuff, but He arranged that stuff into systems to empower its continued existence and development. So if you want a model for systems, look around. And I've concluded that creating, implementing, and forever improving powerful business systems is the highest and best use of executive time and talent. Well, so let's dig a little deeper. What does it mean to create a system? Well, it means you have asked and answered this question. This is the system building question. What is the best way to do this? Sounds so simple. But not only have you answered it, but you have documented the answer. You've typically flowcharted the best process, you know, the events that occur in that system. You've created ways to measure the input and the output and the key steps in the process. You've created appropriate tools to facilitate the process. And you've hired and trained the best people to operate the system. Now, when you've done that, you put a system in place. But you're not done, because creating systems implies that you're going to measure and manage the system regularly and continually improve it forever. Systems are never perfected, they're just today's version. So what effort should be systematized? You know, thinking about your business now. And, you know, it takes time and resources to create effective systems. It is therefore unwise to attempt to systematize everything. There are some things that just aren't worth the time and effort. Any process or tasks that are important, number one, sophisticated, number two, and repeated, number three, are likely candidates for being systematized. Important, sophisticated, and repeated. Now, important means just that. Some organization, typically the executive team or you, have decreed that this is important. Someone needs to prioritize the areas to be systematized, and you start with the highest priority first and move down the list. So when you finish them, you might find that others, which you had originally deemed unimportant, have now risen to the top of the list. And important means that you continually work at the highest priority areas until such time that you've reached a level of granularity that isn't worth executive time and resources. So important means the highest priority, and that is a constantly evolving decision. Sophisticated, so important, sophisticated, and repeated. Sophisticated means that it involves multiple steps and often multiple people. For example, operating a punch press to stamp out metal parts is probably too simple a task to address. You know, you pull the lever. Okay. Moving a piece of steel, however, from the warehouse through production to the finished goods inventory is, however, a much more sophisticated set of tasks which involve multiple people and a variety of tools and equipment. That's why it's often the first process to be systematized. That's a sophisticated process as opposed to a simple process. So number two, it should be sophisticated. Number three, repeated. This means you do it over and over again. Now, if you build a new building to house your company, for example, that's probably a one-off task. While it's important and sophisticated, you probably aren't going to do it again for a while. If, however, you're in the building, you're in the business of building office buildings, that is a repeatable process. You're going to do it over and over again, and it should be systematized. So, important, sophisticated, and repeated. Now, we're just getting started here with systems. There's an extensive list of things that need to be examined and considered to shine a light on implementing effective systems within our business. We'll save those for later. For now, begin to think about the prospect. Just begin to play with the idea that your job as an executive and influential person in your business or organization is to create and improve systems. No business, no organization rises to the level of sustainability and growth without effective systems. It's a necessary aspect of any effective organization. Okay, that's it. Bye-bye.